You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For podcasting.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by Nick Mick. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Thursday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Thank you for spending some of your morning here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list. We will start a little college football conversation with Bill Bender, who covered Urban Meyer at Ohio State. Get his take on what went down yesterday in Jacksonville, college football with signing day yesterday, transfer portal, etc. Maybe pick his brain on one of the major bowl games or two. Bill Bender from the Sporting News at 10:30. Lee Sterling is going to opine. He's from ParamountSports.com. He's got a handful of games that he will share with us and then give you an opportunity to jump aboard his service if you're so inclined. At 11:05, we'll talk Big Four, the locals, college basketball with our friend Kevin Lehman, Washer Systems of Iowa sponsors Kevin's appearance. We'll do Drake, you and I, Iowa and Iowa State with Kevin Lehman. Then our final guest, Mitch Holtis, is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he'll be with us at 11:30. Speaking of voices of NFL teams, we've got one tomorrow. Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings, going to join us. Tomorrow, as we come to you live from Council Bluffs, but PA, we will record him prior to that as he's on the air at the same time Trent and I are. So we'll hear from Paul Allen tomorrow during the show. News from, you know what, we'll get to Urban in a second. I want to start with the sad news, sad in our world anyways, Trent, because a guy we both have a great deal of respect of, Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star, has written sports for decades, Royals, Chiefs, Big 12, you name it. Blair Kirchhoff, one of the good guys in the business, was diagnosed with leukemia early fall, I want to say.
Yeah, early November.
Yeah, and a pretty aggressive form of leukemia, and we certainly are hoping for the best for a good person in Blair Kirchhoff. Fortunate enough to have him on the show three or four times out of this during a calendar year, and hope that we get to do so in the months ahead.
Talked to Blair now for going on decades, and finally had an opportunity to actually meet him in person.
Oh, did you?
Final Four in Minneapolis a couple years back.
Right.
Just sat, talked. It was Monday before the championship game, and it was late afternoon, not a whole lot going on as you're waiting and waiting for the game to start. And
just BS'd with him?
Yeah.
That's
just
great.
One of the great people.
No, he really is.
Introduced me to a couple of national people that I liked and that he knew well, that was pretty close to us. And Pat Forty was one of them. Mm-hmm. And just, he's that kind of guy. He's a guy that, you know, our paths never crossed enough. You know, he'd be in Ames at some time, wouldn't be able to make it up, those kind
That's
of things.
That's where I met him in a press box at Jack Trice, face to face.
And he's just a great person.
He is. And absolutely is.
Hoping for the best.
No question about that. Urban Meyer lost his gig. You know, Trent, as Baseball Benny called me as I was driving in, he's right. But I don't think you can hire Dabo Swinney. And the reason I don't think you can, I mean, it makes sense, right? Trevor Lawrence, ETN, but more so Trevor Lawrence as college quarterback. I don't think you can hire back-to-back college quarterbacks, despite the success. Look, Urban Meyer had a bunch of success in the college game, winning national championships. I don't know if it's that easy to hire him. College coaches, you've heard the list, you've seen the list. Some of the who's who of college football failed miserably in the NFL. So we'll see about that one. But when the news broke yesterday that his kicker, or his former kicker, Josh Lambeau, accused Urban Meyer, on the heels of what we found out over the weekend when he had everybody in the conference room, all his coaches, and he's calling each and every one of them out and calling them losers, essentially. Stand up for your resume. You know, you go back to the game. Was it Cincinnati? I think it was Cincinnati. Didn't travel back with the team. That's an awful look. And then the video escapes. Look, I get it. He's not the first guy to cheat on his wife, but NFL head coach, didn't fly with your team. Bad look. Bad look on the franchise. So we'll see where that goes, but I think he's probably reached the end of his coaching tenure.
He has said that with the NIL and everything else in college football, that he doesn't have the same, certainly, passion for that, and he doesn't like the way that it's going. We've heard other college
Sweeney
coaches
say
that.
Sweeney said the same thing, which kind of leads me, maybe there is something there, but I just don't. If you're a Jags fan, there's very few of them.
Yes.
Right? We're going to hire Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, well, he just did the college thing.
That. Yeah. How'd that work out? I don't know.
Anyway. With a guy as accomplished as...
Right, exactly.
And it didn't work.
No.
So we're going to go that route again. I wouldn't be it. And it's not like Dabo is this great X's and O's coach. He's a motivator. He's a little hokey.
Gets good players, yep.
Would that work in the NFL game?
I don't know. I don't know if it will or not. But Trevor Lawrence needs some help because this guy's too good and has not got off to a good start. So the other thing I was thinking about when driving in today... And I didn't let you know in our two-minute pre-show meeting we have every day because I want to catch you off guard.
All right.
Because normally what first pops into your head is potentially the right answer to the question. Because we're at that time of the year, right? It's the end of the year. And you start looking back on the year.
Yes.
And trying to find the biggest stories in the state of Iowa or the biggest story in the world of sports this year. Trent, I racked my brain. From Ankeny until the time Benny called me as I was crossing the river.
Story of the year in the state of Iowa?
Luka?
Probably.
Right?
That's where my mind went first.
Because of his award.
Yeah.
It's a great award, don't get me wrong.
We've never had a National Player of the Year.
Yeah, I get it. And for that reason, he's got to be on that list.
But right? I was exiting the round of 32.
That's just it.
Taints it. Even if they would have got to the Sweet 60, I think that would have been enough to make it, no doubt about it, surefire. Yeah. Number one in the state of Iowa list.
But then keep going.
Iowa win Lee? The Big Ten West.
And then they got pummeled.
Exactly. And the three games they lost, they got throttled in each one of them.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Got as high as number two. If they would have got through the regular season with one loss, maybe a little bit more. But just, we said it. How did this team win 10 games?
Right. I mean,
it just doesn't have that feel.
It really doesn't have it.
So you can't go that route. Iowa State, of course, you look...
Won a Fiesta Bowl, and that was in 2021.
Right.
They potentially had a chance. Breece Hall, back-to-back All-American. It's not the deepest year in the state of Iowa. Now expand it.
Drake winning an NCAA tournament game? But still...
Yeah.
2 days later.
But we're kind of reaching, right?
Yeah, we are.
We're really reaching. What's the story of the
Pat Hoberg winning umpire of the year?
Yeah, and you know what? That's maybe the sports story of the year. Not Pat Hoberg, but the game that he umpired.
Yes, that is it. Yes.
The Field of Dreams.
No doubt about it.
Right?
That will be forever remembered.
We got to it. It took us a while, but I think we got to it.
Took baseball to get into the conversation, but no doubt. And this is actually an easy year now that you look at
it. Yeah, now that
this will be remembered.
Because there's not a lot of competition.
Right. Because there wasn't those great seasons for any of the locals.
An individual award in a team sport, that's great. Never been one. That's wonderful. I'm not minimizing what Luka Garza did.
Iowa finally winning a national championship in wrestling, finally breaking down. It was great, but they were the favorites going in. And even that, it was a tad of a disappointment tournament run that they had. It wasn't the domination that some people anticipated. Yeah, that's it.
It's
the Field of Dreams games. Yep.
All right, now expand across the country. I think I have it.
Tom Brady. Going
That's
to Tampa.
Clearly one of them.
In year one and doing
clearly
it.
Clearly one of them. That wasn't my choice. That was on my list. Phil Mickelson's on my list.
That's a great one.
Winning the PGA at 50 years old. That's on my list. I don't think that's going to be the sports story of the year.
Sports story of the year, and I'm missing it.
And you will. I don't think you'll get it. I don't think our minds are going to sync up on this one.
Probably not hockey.
Nope. Well, yeah, in a way.
In a way.
In a way. Keep going, though. I don't want to throw you off by saying that.
Now you have me confused.
Right. I knew I would when I said it. As soon as I said it.
What do you got?
Fans back in stadiums.
Fans back in stadiums. You know, it's interesting because I was reading one of these recaps, and it was a college football recap of the year.
Kinnick didn't have anybody last year.
Mm-hmm. And they were talking about week one, Penn State, Wisconsin, and it was the moment of the year for this writer.
Mm-hmm.
Jump around in Camp Randall.
Absolutely. I'll never forget watching it. We're all watching, right? Yeah. Now, what's the song they play before that? There's one they do in a different quarter. I'm not sure either, and it's really effective. But yes, that day, that atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't go to whoever had the game.
It was Fox.
Fox didn't go to commercial, and let us soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
We're not Wisconsin fans.
No,
you've actually been there to jump around. I'm not sure if you did.
No.
But you've seen it.
I sat there stoically.
Did you? So for that reason, I think that might be on a list. Because Trent, Phil Mickelson, big deal.
Yes.
I mean, it's a big deal. It is. Tom Brady, it's a big deal. But I think fans back in stadiums after 2020 was as barren as it was. I think you got to put that on the list. Look at Kinnick Stadium. Look at our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody there last year.
Right. And just how eerie it was.
Right.
And how weird those environments were. We just talked about this the other day. We were talking about home field advantage in the NFL,
right.
Lambeau.
Right.
Well, they didn't have it last year.
Nope.
Tampa Tom was able to walk in there and dozens of people mm-hmm. in attendance. What was it? The firefighters and EMTs were about the only people inside the building?
Right.
Yeah. It can be different.
Right.
They're making
the
radar.
Senior days?
Yeah.
For kids?
Right. How weird that
parents,
was.
Parents, and that was it?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't put it at the top, but it's part of the story.
Right.
And a big part of the story.
It's a huge part of the story.
Still Brady for me.
Brady for you. Yeah, no, it's good. I'm with you. I mean, what he did, leaving his team, finding a team that he could mold. And they weren't good until December.
That's right.
They weren't good until
I think they were 7-5, 7-4.
Was that the right around Thanksgiving? That's what they were. And then they just down the stretch took it to another level. Yeah, Brady, big. The Braves winning.
Right.
Alabama. Mm.
Again.
Right.
Though that team
is as good as is maybe as good as Saban has had.
We're going to look back and
I
say
think so too.
That one might have been his best.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the domination that we showed, really short of the Florida game and the SEC championship, just the way that they pulverized everybody that they saw over the course of the season, playing the extra SEC games, of course, that they had to play on top of it. And it was no problem for that team. I think we're going to look back and say that Alabama team was great. But they all kind of fall together.
Yes, because every year he's got players that are great.
And if he comes back and does it this year, you could argue maybe his best coaching job. But it'll just, well, it's Alabama. Mm-hmm. And it was fine.
Mm-hmm. And a Heisman quarterback.
Right.
If you got a quarterback, you got a chance. And he does.
And he always does now.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, that's what I was thinking about driving in. But you're right. We came across the story of the year in Iowa sports.
No doubt.
It's Field of Dreams.
And there's
what a remarkable day that was.
It's an argument about second. There's no argument.
Right.
That is number one.
Right. Right. Yeah, there isn't.
A day that was.
It was amazing.
The
Trent.
Build up, the lead up to it. You kind of had what you talked about, the fans in the stands, mm-hmm. and you know, we're at a time where things mm-hmm. were going great. And
Costner came back.
Yes.
And that was we walking out of the corn.
The way the game played out.
It was great. It was a phenomenal game.
All the corn home runs that you had, including a walk. I mean, just, you couldn't have painted a better picture.
No.
People talking about, is this heaven? And then they had the shots of the sunset.
Sure.
How
it was spectacular that August night. And that's why I'd hope. I remember coming in the next day and saying, don't do this again.
All right.
You can't top this. This was perfection.
They're going to do it again.
Oh, I know they are. It's too much money.
Yeah.
They're going to do it again.
And again.
Probably so. That's the story of the year in Iowa sports. Field of Dreams. What a fun night that was.
What would you put second then? Luka?
I guess.
Yeah. Kind of begrudgingly?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot else out there.
No. I mean, the team underachieved. Mm-hmm. Iowa State football underachieved this year. Spencer Lee?
Yeah, that's a good one. Doing it
this
with,
was the no ACLs, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's on the list.
That's incredible.
Maybe that's the toughest story of the
right,
year.
Yeah. Got to put Spencer Lee on mm-hmm. there and Iowa as a whole for the mm-hmm. wrestling and getting that national championship after the drought. Those are all on the list, but number one's easy. Number two is where it becomes a little more difficult.
Indeed it is. So you'll go for the National Story of the Year. You'll go Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah.
Over Mickelson.
Yep.
I'll go fans in stands one, Brady two.
And we're going to be seeing more and more of these stories. This is a part of the end of the year I really
do
like.
Yeah, I do too. I just want to try and
get ahead of the game.
Yeah, what are they going to say? See what our list, if it matches up with... I mean, if anybody comes up with a story bigger than Field of Dreams in the state of, I want to know it.
Yeah, hit us up.
Right. I want to know that, because hats off to you and shame on us if indeed there is one that we've bypassed, because I can't see that there's going to be. I just don't see it. Anyways, football tonight. Looking forward to getting back to a little football. It's been a difficult couple of nights. Watched some of the T-Wolves last night and the Nuggets.
How about Edwards? 10-3.
Isn't he something, Trent? He's something.
And I know... It's December, NBA for a lot of people, right. Us included, is not a big part of the viewing, but we watch a lot of T-Wolves between us, mm-hmm. and this dude, boy, they have something. It was a draft pick where so many people just didn't know.
No, he's an incredible athlete. He's 7 foot tall, take him. Well, you got Cat.
Edwards is a great athlete.
But he doesn't care about the game.
Right. We continue to hear these kind of things.
No motivation.
What was it? He didn't know who Alex Rodriguez was.
That's right, yeah.
He's a different cat.
He's a really different cat.
Speaking of cat, they were talking to Big Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm. after the game. Were you watching at the end?
No, come on.
In the post game, you'd already flipped over. And
literally flipped over.
He was doing his interview after the game, and I just had it on. I wasn't listening. And all of a sudden, behind him, here comes Edwards, starting chanting MVP behind him. And
was he?
Oh, yeah, just having a good time. Then the social media director, that's who the TV broadcaster said it was, came over and showed him something on his phone, and he's dying laughing. Mm. He's a fun guy. Get a couple more pieces. Get the T-Wolves relevant.
I think they will be. Speaking of showing videos, did you see at one of Tiger Woods' press conference earlier this week?
Oh, man.
Wasn't that spectacular? So some reporter, I'm assuming it's a reporter, mm-hmm. Somebody handed Tiger Woods their phone, mm-hmm. and on their phone was a side-by-side Tiger and Little Tiger, and the mannerisms, the swing, the characteristic. I mean, Trent, it's not eerie. They are identical. They're cut from the same cloth. Junior he's a chip off the old block, as my dad used to say.
You know, Charlie, it's funny too, seeing the mannerisms, and that was the biggest thing. The club spin, the fist pump, okay, right. that's copying dad. But,
and the swing too.
Yes. But watching, and Tiger talked about it in this piece, him going to the nose.
Yes, because they both got allergies.
Yes, and Tiger talking about that. Yeah. You know, I give you a hard time because you're old and you cry all the time.
Yeah.
That one got me.
Right?
It really got me. I was thinking about my Jack.
I know, Trent. Absolutely. Yeah. Father, sons.
Uh-huh.
And if you think of Tiger Woods one way, and I get why you do, I understand that, but watch this, because this was the side of Tiger Woods. Have you ever seen that before?
No.
Now, after he won the Masters, he got caught up a little bit with his son, mm-hmm. Thinking back to when he had that moment with his dad, who's now passed away. But this was different. This was really good.
I loved it.
I did too.
I saw it just through ESPN's Twitter account.
Can you find it in Twitter? Tweet it from the Miller and Con, the show account, if you can, because that's really good.
It was awesome.
It's what, about 2 minutes?
Yep.
It's not like you have to, it's not a big investment of time.
No.
I know you avoid clicking on it. I just don't have 4 minutes.
Right.
Oh, no, this article's 5.5 minutes. I can't read that much.
Absolutely not.
Who are you trying to kid? I mean, come back when you got a minute and a half. As we recap yesterday before we go to break, and we'll get Bill Bender in here more on this. Did you read Doc's piece on Iowa recruiting and Phil Parker's how instrumental he was down the stretch? Iowa really closed strongly yesterday.
Yes, they did.
In a big way.
They pick up commitments, and we were having fun yesterday with Dort.
Right.
And the kid that they got
there. I'm glad we did.
Yes. It was a
fun learned something yesterday. I never heard of it.
I had a lot more people reach out throughout the day and say they were enjoying the Dort conversation and giving Northwest Iowa a little bit of love there.
Absolutely.
But to go and get those guys, and basically, a week and a half ago, they didn't have a defensive back commitment. And to end with the four dudes that they got, of course, Xavier Wampa at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid from California picks Iowa over Michigan and Cal.
Right.
All right, that's pretty good. Look at some of the other names that they were involved with. They closed very good. And every one of those defensive backs, what did they talk about? Phil Parker.
Yeah, I mean, he's the main reason that they're there.
Iowa has sold what he's been able to do, putting guys in the league at an incredible level.
Riley Moss is an All-American.
Saw Riley Moss in high school a lot.
You did. Absolutely you did. We talked about him in his freshman year.
If he would have become an All-American.
There's no way.
What, as a gunner? Yeah, seriously. I mean, okay, maybe he's a great specialty. As a cornerback?
No. Look at how he's, I mean, Trent, what a transformation. From freshman year to this? Are you kidding me? He's become a heck of a player. So, I mean, good for the Hawks. Iowa State kind of, I think, did what they were expected to do. It was a really good class as far as Iowa State, where they usually come in recruiting. Look, I'm not into it. We'll see these kids in a couple of years. Right. I know a lot of you are. You replenish the system, if you will. So fingers crossed that the hope that you have for some of these guys at least pans out. We'll see if it does.
It's kind of a crapshoot, ultimately.
For sure.
It's like the NFL draft. The NFL draft is the same thing. Even a first rounder. It's about a 50-50 proposition. They're going to turn out to be even a good player. You know, a guy that makes a couple of Pro Bowls.
Yep.
We do this on a yearly basis. And we go, hey, let's take a look at that 2012 draft. Ooh. And then you go through and there's some ugliness.
There's a miss.
Right. And they're all over the place. Same thing with recruiting. There's no sure things, though. The five-star guys, the high four-star guys, usually, you know, you're going to get a pretty good guy there. Usually when you're going in and you're swimming in those kind of waters. But, you know, we go through and we're looking at the recruiting part of it, what it means in the future, and on and on and on. What do you think about Campbell after where it felt, in a way, maybe inevitable, that he was going to leave, that it was going to happen? And it hasn't.
Nope.
I mean, do you still have the concerns when Black Monday comes in the NFL? Or is it at the point, and we talked about WHO and Murph and Company doing their crap?
Yep.
Are you kind of at that point? Because I am. I hear.
Do you think he's staying?
Yeah, just I don't care.
I go back and forth. When I think he's staying, then how can you not take this job?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you're not going to listen to this school or this team? Maybe he's just different.
Yeah.
Maybe he's different. Maybe he wants to stay. He's said repeatedly over the years he wants to build something. He's doing that.
Yes, he is.
In a big way.
Sustainability. Now, this is not a flash in the pan. This is not doing with JUCOs. This is not anything like that. This is something that is built for sustainability. He looks around and says, in a new Big 12 with a 12-team playoff.
A lot of pressure on Hunter Deckers.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because you need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's certainly, we've seen more of him than we thought that we would, I think. Certainly I did. We'll see. I mean, look at Clone fans. You've had back-to-back two elite running backs in the college game.
Right.
In David Montgomery and now Breece Hall.
You find another one of them?
Yeah, can you?
Because we talked about the offensive line. I think that's the one part that you look at. This program is going to elevate and go from 9 wins 2 years ago, 7 wins this year, and get to that final step. In order to do that, that offensive line's got to be better.
It does.
The way that they play, the style that they want to play, they just have to be better up front. I don't know what that involves. We hear sing all kinds of praises all the time about the strength and conditioning staff that they have there. You figure, of course, offensive line, it starts there. But frankly, just have to be better. Better up front, I think we'll cure some of those ills. And you're not losing those games to the Texas Techs and the Western, the West Virginias of the world. You're getting those wins and that sustainability then goes to another level.
Took a 62-yard field goal for God's sake. I just had two texts. Caitlin Clark should be on our list.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
Should be, I mean, it's not Field of Dreams, but when we're trying to find that second team, etc. All right, Bill Bender's coming up in a couple of minutes. We will speak with Bill. Look forward to talking to him from the Sporting News. Pick his brain of what can Dabo Swinney. I mean, I just don't see it. It's not that big a deal. It's Jacksonville. Nobody cares about the Jags. They are far from one of our regionals, but still a big name in the sport, no doubt about that. Bill Bender, then Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Look forward to catching up with Lee Sterling. Kevin Lehman is going to talk about the Iowa teams in college basketball. We'll go around the valley with Drake and you and I, and then Iowa and Iowa State with Kevin Lehman before the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, joins us. Steve wants to opine. Before we go to break, we're happy to hear from you. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think, you know, you're talking about Matt Campbell. I think, obviously, the next step is continue to build that foundation and a sustainability aspect to it. And I think, you know, one of the analogies one of my Hawkeye friends and I, we talk about is, you know, you think about when Hayden Fry came in, he came into nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of interest in him over the years, but he's, and maybe we found our guy, right, that wants to build something long-term and make as he's doing. And then I don't think there's any reason to believe that he's not going to continue to stay and build and after all the, you know, offers he's currently had. But that's just my two cents, and thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, Steve, happy to take your call, and I hope you are right because he's built that program in. It's fun to talk about Iowa State football when the calendar turns to November most years. And as you know, Steve, and most of your fan base knows, that wasn't always the case. We'll take our time out. Bill Bender will join us from the Sporting News. A little college football conversation with Bill Bender. Lee Sterling coming up. You and I are in another contest.
We are. You're ready to get throttled this time?
What I'm trying to figure out is where the hell I'm going to put another trophy.
Well, you don't have to worry about it because I've seen your football picks this year.
They've been awful. I think that's why I was invited. You know, we need somebody that also ran in this thing.
Free money.
We'll take a timeout. Bill Bender next. Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 106.100
bets off.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. In about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. He will opine on a handful of bowl games coming up here just before 11. Right now, Bill Bender, he covers college football while he writes about sports at the Sporting News, and he joins us. Hello, Bill Bender. Trent and Ken, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No, listen, we appreciate it. So, Bill, you covered Dabo. You covered Urban Meyer a lot when he was at Ohio State. We saw the news last night that he's out at Jacksonville. Did it surprise you, Bill, knowing covering Urban Meyer the way that he did? And I'm not saying you saw him kick a player or a kicker in this case, but are you surprised it seemingly has ended his football coaching career the way that it did? If indeed this is it.
I mean, if this is it, yeah. I mean, you never know if he could turn up at a lower level Power 5 program. I don't know that he would because the stage has to be big. But I guess I'm at the level of drama and how quickly it escalated in Jacksonville. Losing always contributes to that, but some of these stories are just absurd, right? Yeah. So, I mean, for Urban Meyer to go down like this, I mean, kind of. I tried to reserve judgment before he went to the NFL, but it looks like the worst happened.
Is it over? Is the coaching career of Urban Meyer over? And if it isn't, what's the kind of destination that he would land? Is it back to a blue blood in college football, or is this it?
Hello?
Yep, you there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wrote about that this morning, and I'm thinking, you know, he's not going to take a job at a UCLA or a West Virginia or, you know, a Louisville. I mean, he would have to be at a big stage. And I think for that to happen, it would have to take at least 1 to 2 years to do that. Then you're 59 years old. One of the jobs I compared it to was when Steve Spurrier came back to college football. He went to South Carolina,
right.
Had a tremendous level of success for 11 years, but it took 6 years to get there. So it would require a lot on Meyer's part if he would want to get back into college football coaching, and I don't know that he will.
Do you think TV is back in his future? Because I think he was very good, or I thought he was very good, whether it was on Fox. Now Bobby Stoops is in that seat. And I loved the 5-minute video breakdowns that the Big Ten Network would put on Twitter when he would recap a game or break down a game, usually a couple of Tuesday, earlier in the week anyway. Do you think that's in his future? Is he a guy that strikes you as he's just got to stay in the spotlight, got to stay busy? And if so, might TV scratch that itch?
I mean, he was really good in the studio. He was outstanding on Big Ten Network, on Fox, Big Noon Kickoff.
Yep.
And he's very dynamic in that role because he knows what he's talking about. He's won a lot of football games at the college football level. I think the entire NFL thing just from the start, I guess. And he would be great in the studio, and I think that's kind of how he rehabbed his image from Ohio State at the end of that. And at the end of the day, he's still one of the five best coaches in college football in terms of winning percentage of all time. And that's why I think, despite Brett McMurphy's report that 85% of ADs said they wouldn't call him, that was this year. Who knows in 3 years?
Right. Yeah. What about Dabo Swinney to take his place? We've seen the quotes. He does not like transfer portal, putting it mildly. Name, image, and likeness, says he's not a big fan of it as well. You wrote about his recruiting class and the winners and losers from the early signing period. Clemson, you weren't the highest on Clemson that I've seen you in the past. But I don't know if Jacksonville can go for another college coach. I mean, just hired one of the best in the business in Urban. I get that Dabo's quarterback is there and he's struggling in his first year. Make any sense to you, Bill?
Well, I mean, obviously, no. I think not too many things make sense, but I think they need to find the right coach for Trevor Lawrence. You do have a franchise quarterback. You can build around him. He's obviously super talented, and then you got to find the pieces around him. So I think it's going to be a coach with NFL experience. Now, Dabo, all those things you said about him, true. I mean, in this new era of college football where we had some wild things happened yesterday.
I'll say.
Not enjoyed as much. And that's something to keep in mind. I mean, he just lost both coordinators, and Clemson has a long climb back.
All right, let's talk about that wild day yesterday. And the wildest, the number one player in the country from 24/7, Travis Hunter Jr., is going to Jackson State to play with Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. It came out of absolutely nowhere. What does it say to you, Bill Bender?
I mean, Deion, charismatic, we all know that. Deion, nothing subtle. And he has been unflinching in the way that he's advocated for HBCU. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is the first step. So it's like one of two theories here. Is one, is his goal to turn Jackson State into an App State-type program at that level and create more opportunities for HBCUs and those kind of things. And that could be, or, you know, the other one that's popular right now is he going to end up at Florida State or in the Power Five? Mm-hmm. I think both sides are very interesting, and Deion has certainly made the biggest splash of the day yesterday by landing the number one recruit in the country. And the other question you got to ask is, maybe this kid just wants to learn from the best cover corner I've ever seen.
Yeah, he didn't like tackling. It wasn't up high on his list, but boy, oh boy, Bill, he was unbelievably gifted. No doubt about that. Give us another couple of your thoughts, takeaways from a national perspective on early signing day yesterday. Who did well? Who slipped in your mind?
Well, I mean, in NIL, Texas and Texas A&M really brought in big classes. You know, A&M did well, and Jimbo continues to build there. Sark, on top of bringing Quinn Ewers in from Ohio State, had a really good class with, I think, 11 or 12 four-star kids from Texas, and that was something they needed to do when he was hired. So I think those two did extremely well. Kentucky did well. Kentucky with Mark Stoops staying and then keeping his coordinators and recruiting well. And then after that, I mean, we talked about Clemson, Oklahoma still picking up some pieces from Lincoln Riley. Those were two that stood out. And, I mean, Miami and Florida have a long way to go as well.
We look towards the bowl games. They start tomorrow. Of this early slate, give us a game or two that you're most intrigued by. You think we're going to at least get something. It's teams that aren't usually at the forefront of the mind. What are the games that jump out to you here early?
I mean, Western Kentucky App will be fun because Western Kentucky quarterback Bailey Zapp obviously has kind of touchdown pass. Zapp State's never lost a bowl game, so I think that's fun. You know, I'll watch as many of them as I can, and I think it's just watching those kind of under-the-radar players like the ones I just mentioned. And, you know me, I'm going to watch those MAC matchups every year anyway. Yeah. So get your bowl pulls in and have fun with it.
Indeed. Your favorite bowl game this year is what, Bill? You can only pick one. What's your favorite one?
I mean, probably Georgia-Michigan, just because of the heat that's going to come off that game. Outside of the playoff matchups, I guess I would go probably Notre Dame-Oklahoma State because I want to see – what Notre Dame is with Marcus Freeman on the sideline. Now, keep in mind, not just that game. They've never won a BCS Bowl. They've never won a New Year's Day Six Bowl. If he wins that in his first game, expectations are going to be through the roof as he heads to his alma mater. They play Ohio State in the opener in Columbus next year.
How about that?
That's a good start.
Yeah, I'll say. Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill, I appreciate you coming on. Oh, there's just one more. Ryan Day. Is there any smoke around this that if Trace Armstrong, and I had no idea the client list that this guy's got, it's more than just Ryan Day. Some of the big, big names. I mean, when David Kaplan joined us yesterday and he negotiated Lincoln Riley's contract, he negotiated Brian Kelly's contract. He's got some big, big names under his agent umbrella. If indeed he does go to the Bears, does Ryan Day make sense to you leaving Ohio State and going to try the NFL?
Maybe he could, but he squashed that yesterday. I think he's comfortable at Ohio State. He's got a good setup. Yeah, they lost a couple games, but they've responded by hiring Jim Knowles, brought in a third straight top five recruiting class. I think we're going to spend the summer talking about how much talent Ohio State has and how do they strike back after losing to Michigan. So I don't know that I would leave that to go to the NFL, especially to an unstable organization like Chicago.
Bill Bender, Sporting News. Bill, great stuff. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so
yep,
much.
Good to have you. Bill Bender, spoken like a good, a true Green Bay Packer fan.
You're right.
At the end there, that he is. Lee Sterling will join us next. Paramount Sports. He'll opine on a handful of these big, big bulls when we come back on Des Moines Sports Station 106.
Bets off.
Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Thank you again, Bill Bender from the Sporting News. As promised, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. This is our final appearance with Lee until Super Bowl week. He joins us, going to go over a handful of games. His game of the week is actually tonight.
Nice.
Lee, Trent, and Ken, compliments of the season. How are you?
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. I mean, with the opt-outs at a record high, COVID is going to run rampant. I mean, just absolutely bizarre. And then the coaching changes. There's a bunch of games where both coaches on both teams aren't even coaching the game. So a lot of work, and things could change on a dime.
Which is probably best advice is to bet as late as you possibly can, right?
Absolutely. Unless you think you're ahead of something. Let's say you see a team maybe have two or three guys go down and it looks like we'll not play in the game, and you think there's going to be a lot more, then you take a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's take a shot here, Lee, with the college football playoff games. Got a couple others, including both Iowa and Iowa State, their bowl games. Let's start, though. It is Cincinnati. The group of five breaks through, and they'll get their shot, not just against anybody, against Alabama. It's a big number, as you'd anticipate. 13.5 I saw early on. There were a couple of shops that had this one over two touchdowns. It settled at that 13.5 number. What do you see with the Bearcats and the Crimson Tide?
So if Cincinnati is going to have to win this game, they're going to have to, I think, keep the game close. I don't think that they can then come from behind here and win this game. So I think Cincinnati's secondary is really good.
Yes,
so I think Alabama is going to run the ball a lot. They're going to focus on running, and pretty impressive. Their offensive line controlled a great Georgia defensive line, and a little shocked, you know, that Georgia didn't come to play. If they would have eliminated Alabama and beaten them there, Alabama would have been done. They wouldn't have to face the prospect of facing them again. But Bama's defense is still really good. They played well, especially for the first, three quarters in that game, and top run and pass defense here. Desmond Ritter's going to have the game of his life. I just don't see it. Bama, 34-13.
Yeah, you're right about that offensive line after just stinking the joint out in the Iron Bowl the week before. They were unbelievable against Georgia. Well, in your backyard will be the other playoff game, the Orange Bowl, and that features Georgia and Michigan. I was glad this one is on the list because I have a major opinion. I hope we are in sync. Georgia is an 8-point favorite.
So I thought the line would come 5.5, 6, and I'm a little shocked because I think Georgia, we're seeing right now, the coaching staff isn't great. Don't love Kirby Smart and his assistants. Thought they got out-coached. Thought that Michigan, over the last two games, their staff has done a great job. Game plan against Ohio State and Iowa was right on par, and the kids believe in them. They're hot now. The matchup is going to be a little bit tougher because Alabama could throw the ball much better. But I think these two teams are pretty similar here. So I'm going to go with the hot team, and I think the better coach team. I think Michigan might even pull off the upset. I like them 27-26.
So do I. Good to hear.
All right. This is a game that we thought maybe we were going to see in the playoff. Oregon-Oklahoma. Certainly not the case, though, as they match up together. Let's take a look at the Sooners and the Ducks, Lee Sterling.
Yeah, and this could be wide open. You know, with assistant coaches sometimes taking the reins, they try trick plays, and they'll even sometimes let their quarterbacks call some plays here. So I think the Ducks, you know, down the stretch, you know, Joe Moorhead I don't think he put in the time. He knew he was going to Akron. Well, that's a story for another day. Who wants to go to Akron? Right. So he's probably taking a huge pay cut, but maybe, you know, he feels that's the right place. But I think that the Ducks might stay in this game for a while, but Oklahoma, even with the opt-outs, just too many weapons here. I like the Sooners here. High-scoring game, 41-34.
All right, let's get to the locals. Iowa State, Clemson up first. Iowa State is a point-and-a-half favorite or thereabouts. Your thoughts on Iowa State and the Clemson Tigers?
So I was never, you know, didn't like what I saw from Clemson most of the season here. And I just think that they're going to be hampered. Both of their coordinators are gone. So I think that certainly plays into this game here. And just think that what we're going to see here is I think Breece Hall might have a big game. I think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to back out at the last second here. And you know, even though Clemson won the last five games, only Wake Forest was an impressive win here. Tons of defensive line and wide receiver injuries for Clemson here, and I think they're going to go through the motions here. I think the motivation is on the Iowa State side more than Clemson, and motivation is number one when you get to these early bowls here. Give me some Iowa State Cyclone money here, 24-20.
24-20, Clones get it done. We finish it up with the Citrus Bowl, Iowa getting 3 points against Kentucky.
Yeah, Iowa capitalizes most against teams that make mistakes, but Kentucky takes care of the ball, top 20 in that category. Also, they are number four Kentucky in finishing drives, so they may not, they might have a couple three and outs, but when they get in the red zone, they usually put it in the end zone without Tyler Goodson. No, I think it's going to be a really good pro. Not that he didn't have a good college career. I think we're going to look back and say, you know, maybe with a more wide open offense, he would have done more. So his opting out, I think, certainly hurts them. They don't have as many weapons here in the cupboard. I like Kentucky. Hard-fought game, 24-17.
All right, Lee Sterling, your play of the week is tonight. It's that AFC West matchup. The Chiefs are a three-point favorite taking on the Chargers. Chiefs Chargers, if the audience wants more information, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I mean, the NFL did a great job choosing this game here tonight, and then Vegas and Cleveland Saturday, and then Saturday night New England and Indianapolis. So fun weekend of NFL games. You want to get this Kansas City Chargers game. I have a real strong opinion on this game. Just call 800-400-9741. If you'd like to join us for Double Down December, last year from the first bowl game, remember it starts tomorrow. It doesn't start on Saturday. They want to get the early start this year. You want to hop on board. We won 27 of the last 36 games last year from the first bowl game through the Super Bowl. Use coupon code SAVE200, just $97 from now through December 31st. Which is most of the bowl games. Get it right now. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, we will talk to you the week of the Super Bowl. Thank you, Lee Sterling. Appreciate you coming on all season.
Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. ParamountSports.com for Lee Sterling. The Kentucky-Iowa game, do you have a feel for this at all?
Not really. I lean Kentucky at this point, but without diving real deep into it. You are our Kentucky correspondent.
I am, yes. I happen to hold that distinction.
Have you
watched
fired
him
yet?
A lot. No, I'm not betting the locals.
Why not?
I just don't.
You know
I
him better than anybody.
I know, but I won't do it. Because then I look at it from a gambling perspective, and I'd learned my lesson. I swore I'd never do it again, and to this point, I haven't. Kentucky are the most undisciplined team.
Oh.
They will turn the ball over.
Oh.
They are self-implosion one game after another, but they got some dudes. Their linebackers are solid. They got two guys. I love this name, Courvoisier Smoke.
Oh.
He's one of the two running backs. Of course, we know the quarterback transfer, right, from Penn State. Levis is a really good player.
That Iowa wanted bad.
Did they?
They were the first in on him, first power offer that he had.
I don't remember that.
Ken O'Keefe fell in love with them, thought that they had a really good chance at
He's their team leader, Trent.
Iowa thought they were going to get him.
Did they?
And they were at a camp. O'Keefe was at a camp, offered him, first power offer that he got. Connecticut kid, went to another camp, blew up. Penn State was there, got the Penn State offer, and for all intents and purposes, that recruiting was over.
Well, I think Penn State made the wrong choice. I mean, Clifford's okay.
Yeah.
But Levis is a really good player. Now he's prone to picks.
And he's a weird duck. Eating bananas with bananas with the peel on and everything else.
He is a weird duck in that. You know who the leading receiver is?
Wandell Robinson.
By a mile. The linebacker's good. Good defense. But again, what's Iowa State's offensive strength? They turn you over.
So the Hawkeyes get three picks.
They could, Trent. I wouldn't fall off my chair. I really wouldn't. A couple of fumble recoveries.
Yeah.
This is Kentucky's season. Had some good wins. We will come back. Kind of switch gears. A little college basketball conversation. Let's opine on Drake, you and I, Iowa and Iowa State before Mitch Holtis gets here at 11:30. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.